5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
So I think most people, when they drive, get a bit upset, don't they, Neil?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's natural.
You could have the sweetest, you know, nicest, most calm, respectful person. They get a little bit
sweary. Yeah. So in the car, a lot of people get brave when they're in the car.
Oh, yeah.
But if you walk up to that car, they soon show the true colours.
I think my favourite insult of yours was you were trying to turn into the car park and there was someone parked on the road. And you just looked over and, look at the absolute state of you.
No. You've got that kind of wrong. I was driving down the main street and someone was trying to park at the side of the road and the car was fucking diagonal. It was sticking out into the road and I couldn't go around them because there was a car coming towards us on the opposite side of the road. So I had to wait until they'd gone past so I could get round the parked car. And yes, as I went past, I screamed, fucking stay here.
Well, I think that's one of my favourites of yours because it was just so simple. It was literally just the absolute fucking state. Like, it was just so to the point. It wasn't like, you fucking dickhead. It was literally the absolute state of you and your vehicle. Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's all it takes sometimes. Just get in my way. Like, I think Bill Burr said it best. You know, and he said, oh my God, what's wrong with you? You went 0 to 100 like that.
I idle
at 75.
Yeah.
75.
Ooh. Welcome to the Bellwitch Podcast, a show that covers the infamous legend of the historic Bellwitch haunting in southern United States in the 19th century. Where the Bell family experienced frightening happenings within their home. Hang on a second. No, that's the wrong Bell Witch. This is a podcast about being a witchy pagan in the 21st century, airing bi-weekly, with different guests on each month sharing their pearls of wisdom and gems of knowledge from their very own witchy businesses. I call it a moot loot. Here we cover a wide range of pagan and witchcraft related topics from sigils, spells and spirits to Reiki rituals and pagan parenting while camping in the bell tent named Delilah. It's got nothing to do with the Bell Witch from the 19th century in Tennessee that scared people to death in a little townhouse, which may or may not be true. Pretty cool story, but yeah, it's the wrong Bell Witch. This Bell Witch podcast is brought to you by Swales, the friendly green witch from Leeds, UK. A northern witch with a strong Yorkshire accent, a love of all things weird, spooky, magical, and a smelly dragon named Dave. So tune in every 2 weeks for a sprinkling of Yorkshire magic. Listen to the Bell Witch podcast with me, Swales, a friendly green witch, wherever you get your podcasts.
So, you ready to get into the mini?
Yeah.
Right. Picture it. El Paso, Texas, 1995.
Is that a place? Picture it. What?
No. So, El Paso, Texas, in 1995. The picture it was a reference to Golden Girls.
Right, why would you refer? I don't watch.
I think our listeners would appreciate that. Who the hell doesn't like Golden Girls?
Me.
Right, well, I think you're alone there. Okay, it was a very successful show. I think you need to just get a grip of yourself.
There was a lot of shows that were successful, and there were a load of shite.
Yeah, but, you know, Golden Girls isn't on that list.
Right, I'm gonna say one. It's actually come back. Frasier.
I wasn't into it. I thought you liked it.
Right. I didn't mind it. I'd have it on in the background. Mm-hmm. If it was on, I'd watch it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go hunting for it.
Mm-hmm.
That was successful.
Yeah, I do not know why. But right, okay, we're getting off topic here. The point being, Golden Girls was a great show. I know you don't like it, but I think majority of people liked it. Right. And if not, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've just ruined this with that reference. Anyway, get back to it. El Paso, Texas, 1995, okay?
Okay.
A gruesome murder was just being uncovered, to the horror of the local community. Body parts of an unidentified woman had been spread all over the East El Paso and southern New Mexico area.
I don't know what to say to that.
Neither did the locals.
Okay.
So on the 17th of February, her arms and legs were found. The following day, her severed head was recovered. Her fingertips had also been severed and thrown into a dumpster.
Wait, so were they just found at different times, or was the guy coming back out and...
This was over the course of a few days, and he just spread the body parts everywhere.
Why?
So, well, to break it up, so maybe they'll find this, but they won't find that. You know, it's not just dumping an entire body in one spot.
Okay.
Like...
But they quickly matched the body parts together.
Quickly enough, yes. So that's, you know, like he took the head off. That's obviously a massive indicator to identify someone.
Yeah.
Same with fingertips.
Yeah.
You know? So like I said to you, over the next few days, the rest of the body would be recovered. 21 pieces in total. Now, the pieces of this woman's body had been covered in gold, grey and blue spray paint. And that was in an effort to try and destroy any forensic evidence.
But what would that do to the teeth? I don't... Dental records?
I'm not the crazy bastard who's chopping up the woman. I can't tell you. I'm guessing it was a bit of a moment of madness. I mean, it would have had to have been, wouldn't it, at this stage? He's in too deep.
So I bet this is an artist, isn't it?
Well... you're on
Am
the...
I?
No, not
exactly.
Call
me Columbo.
Excuse me, ma'am. Right, so as far into this as we are, it's already pretty fucking bad. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
And I wish I could say we're through the worst, but we're not. Not quite yet. So this woman was still unidentified. They'd got all the body parts back, but they still didn't know who she was. So they needed a bit of help.
Like dentists. Barbers and...
No.
Well, not they... barbers, but...
So, in a morbid yet effective move, the El Paso Police Department worked with the media to release a staged photo of the woman's severed head in an effort to identify her. How's that
Wait,
grab you?
No. Say that again.
They took a picture.
Yeah.
They positioned her head.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had the eyes open.
Fuck off.
Yeah. And then they broadcast it.
In 95?
Yes. Isn't that insane?
That's mental.
Yeah. Now, like I said, yes, it was morbid, but effective. It worked. They were able to identify her.
But 95, DNA was a fucking thing. Like, testing DNA.
Yeah, but if they tested and they didn't get any type of a match and they had no idea who she was...
Checking dental records then. Putting her head on a fucking stick and taking a picture of it.
It wasn't on a stick. They, like, placed it on a sheet. And, you know, a bit of a backdrop or whatever they did.
Oh, give it a nice fucking background, did they?
I know, it's fuck. Like, this is insane. So, like I said, they were able to identify her. And the woman turned out to be 34-year-old Susie Han Bradley. And she was a local artist.
Oh, so the killer's not an artist.
Yeah, so you're not quite, but you did. He did have access to artistic
pain.
Shit. Pain, yeah. You know, because spray paint's so hard to get your hands on otherwise. So, can you guess who did it? Who is it usually?
The husband.
The fucking husband. Of course it was. James Patrick Bradley.
Not all husbands are fucking killers.
Not all men.
Hashtag not all men.
Yeah.
Tara.
No, but, you know, so often it turns out to be the husband. And in this case, it was. James Patrick Bradley had shot his wife of less than 2 years, Susie. And after he'd shot her, he would proceed to dismember her body with a hatchet.
And then he nicked her paint and used it on her.
Then he nicked her fucking paint. So he would later confess to the crime, and a jury would sentence him to life in prison in November of 1995. So within the same year, he was sentenced and all that. So fucking good.
Yeah.
Didn't drag on. He would later appeal for medical parole in 2012, but was denied. And he actually died in 2014 while continuing to serve his life sentence for the grotesque murder of his wife, Susie Ann Bradley. And if he was still kicking,
yeah,
he would actually be eligible for parole next year. Can you believe that? Like, how can someone like that be eligible? Because it's just, I mean, maybe this is just me and my own moral code here. It's not just the murder, it's the dismembering and then the painting. Like, it's fucking disrespectful and thought out of trying to hide it. Like, fuck this guy.
I think the one what will always stand out for me is your man beating his fucking child to death and got out after, what was it, 10 years?
Oh, William Suff.
Yeah.
Yeah, bastard.
That's fucking unreal.
Mm.
But yeah, this is on the same level as that. Well, good job he snuffed it in prison.
And I'm glad they denied him for parole.
Yeah.
Fuck that. So seeing as you weren't getting an oddity in this week's episode, we thought we'd throw one in with the mini. So I'd never heard of this until recently. Have you ever heard of airport life insurance machines?
What? Huh? No.
So what they used to do was they'd have a vending machine where you could buy life insurance at the airport.
It's understandable.
Is it? Do you know where my mind immediately went when I heard that?
What?
Like, sus. Someone's going to take out a policy and then, like, kill someone. That's right. Like, it was so quick to get a payout.
No, but you got to think, when you're going on a plane, you're putting your life in that pilot's hands.
Yes.
Like,
you see, you're looking at the kind of the nicer side of it, what it was probably intended for. My mind immediately went to, someone's going to take advantage of this. Someone's going to do some dodgy shit. And they did.
Oh.
Yeah. So John Gilbert Graham purchased a life insurance policy for his mother just before she set off on a flight from Denver to Alaska. Now, what his mother didn't know was that her son had actually planted explosives in her luggage. 11 minutes into this flight, the bomb detonated, killing 39 passengers and 5 crew members. Now, her son... Oh, by the way, his name is John, but his nickname was Jack for some reason. I don't know.
Understandable.
Well, John, Jack, fucking Gilbert Graham, whatever the fuck.
Why wouldn't it be Jack?
So he was convicted of first-degree murder and he was executed by the gas chamber. And, you know, like we were talking about just then, apparently it was a normal thing to have these machines in airports. But I don't know, to me, like I said, I just immediately go to shifty bastards.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I didn't. I like to see the good in people.
Yeah, you've always been that way.
Fucking haven't. Fuck off, have I?
I mean, we'll probably cover this case at some point. It's very interesting. It's... Like I said, the whole life insurance machine thing for me was where I initially went to look into that.
And then straight away you saw someone had blown the mother up.
Yeah, because I
38 other people. Well,
39 passengers and 5 crew. Yeah, 44 people. It's fucking insane. But yeah, we will probably look into this case a bit more in depth for an episode. It's It's bad, like 44 people.
Yeah.
You know, and it was that easy. Well, I say it was that easy. You had to obviously, you know, get the explosives.
What year? What year was it?
1955.
Oh, okay, so they weren't. This was before Twin Towers, so the security and everything was a lot.
Yeah.
Lenient.
Yeah.
You can't get a fucking can of deodorant on a plane now.
No.
Do you remember you had makeup? Yeah.
Didn't they robbed you? From me. Yes. Because I like to carry my makeup on with me because I just do. I'm protective of it. No.
It's not because she's protective of it. It's because if she's wearing a full face of makeup, she'll reapply it I don't know how many times throughout the day. It's fucking unreal. Like
it's not just that. It's like if we're traveling somewhere, I know you were the same. You know, my mother always taught me like, you know, you always bring at least a change of clothes on your carry-on with you on your carry-on in case your luggage gets lost.
No.
What do you mean no?
I've never done that.
You told me your mother said that to you.
No. I would have a pair of shorts. So if we were going to Benidorm or something, if it was too hot when I got, because it's too cold when you're flying from Manchester at 3 o'clock in the morning to be in shorts. So you'd be wearing trousers. You'd be wearing like jeans or something. And then I'd have a pair of shorts to change into once I got there.
But you're about to collect your luggage. That's just fucking stupid.
Huh? No, I'd change before I got my luggage.
This doesn't make me... Why would you do that?
I'd change on the plane.
What do you mean you would change on the plane? Why would you change on the plane? You can't just wait. What the fuck are you talking about?
Can you imagine being in fucking Levi's in fucking Benidorm?
I've fucking flown to Spain before. No, I haven't been to Benidorm now, but I've gone to Spain before. This is just outrageous, what you're saying to me right now. You just went like, what? No, I didn't bring a change of clothes, but I would just like sit there on the plane with my bollocks out as I change into a pair of shorts.
No, I'd go to the shit house.
You can't. When you're getting off a plane, you're not meant to be going to the toilet.
Who's going to stop me?
A flight attendant?
Well, no one stopped me yet. And I'd do it mid-flight.
That doesn't make any sense at all. I don't get this.
Why? I don't understand.
So you're telling me that the short trip in the UK, yeah?
Short trip?
Yes.
Still 2.5, 3
hours.
No,
that's the flight.
What trip are you on about?
The trip between you're travelling from where you live in the UK to the airport.
Yes.
And being in the airport.
We're going way fucking.
Right, we'll fucking cut it off then. How do you want to finish this? Because I'm actually devastated now. I'm very upset by this. This is really bothering me now. You've crossed me. I don't know if I can ever go on holiday with you again. Right, well, you know, we're definitely going to be coming back to this, okay?
That's fine.
Yeah, like, I'm not letting this go. I don't even, like, you fucked me up now. I don't know if this is just me. Do other people do this?
I'm 87% sure other 87% people do.
87%. If anyone else does this, please let me know because I'm devastated. I really don't know what to say about this. This is throwing a spanner in the works.
Of course other people do it.
I don't know anyone who does it. I have never done it.
I'm not insane. Like... It's a normal thing to do.
Okay, well, please, you rally some folks together. That'll back you up because I'm...
Okay. Well, we'll save this for another day.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe this is a common thing to do.
Yeah, we'll save this for another day. And yeah, so thank you for today's episode.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.